Welcome to the Round 17 Supercoach Coach Podcast, and this week we're joined by Dunny. Welcome back to the show, mate.
Thanks, Marcus. Great to be back.
And Faz, welcome back.
G'day, gents. Great to be here.
I think the last show we had you both on together, maybe 3 weeks ago now.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that you've had some good, positive moves up the rankings over the last few weeks to report on. Dunny might kick off with yourself. How have you gone? How was your weekend?
I had a pretty good round, not as good as some in our group, but certainly didn't do too badly. I finished last week with a 23.77. Jumped up in the rankings from when I was here last time, and I'm sitting just inside the top 5,000 at 4,939 at the moment. So I think last time I was on the show, I was sitting around about the 10,000 mark. So had a pretty good run in the buys. Pretty happy with how I came out of those, particularly with the position of my team. I'll say my final on-field upgrade last week, but I do still have Phillips on field, so he'll be getting upgraded this week. And that should leave me pretty good for the run home and leave me with about 5 trades left.
Yeah, I mean, with the comp as competitive as it is these days, I think top 5,000 is certainly a very happy place to be. And I know, Faz, you've moved up a little bit as well. Last week you didn't make it on the show, but you had a humongous score, which has catapulted you upwards. Did you keep it up last week?
Yeah, thank you for the shout-out last week. I was being talked nicely about until Mark came on and said how crap my ranking was. And I think, unfortunately, said to myself as I was this new goal for the season is just beat Mark. That's all that matters. But he got me this week, so still some work to be done there. It was a little low for me this week, 23-22. So the prime culprits there, CCJ, had him on field with the sum total of 5. That was pretty shocking. I think that's going to be a bit of a theme for the show as CCJ, he's thrown some trade plans into awry and some teams will be planning to hold him on field for a few more weeks. That's obviously changed a bit now. The other one was Sidebottom with his 33. That was a real shocker. Yeah, I'd say I was even more angry at Sidebottom. Paid, not much for CCJ, so when he gives you a 5, you can't be too upset. But when you've got Sidebottom in as a $500,000 player, particularly when you don't have Dangerfield, that was rough. I was there on Friday night, saw it in person as Dangerfield tore Essendon apart, and it was just even worse when I got back to the car to drive home and saw that he'd torn my Supercoach dreams apart as well. Yeah. We're into that stage of the year where we're hoping for those big scores. I saw a few people hit 2,700 this week. Some massive scores coming in. And with only a few weeks left, we just got to hope we nail our VC and C choices, get the full premium teams out there and hold on for the ride at the end of the year.
Yeah, I scored 23.58. So we're all fairly similar with how our weeks went. I dropped down 300 spots, so sitting 1,600th overall. Our other podcast hosts, we've got CJ, Bryce, and FB Donkey all scored 24.50 plus. So I'm glad none of them are here to rub it in our faces. I didn't trade in Dangerfield, even though I said on the show that I was going to. Mark's words of advice got into my head. I've got to own my own decisions, but I did not trade Danaher to Dangerfield as was originally planned. And I would have scored 24.70 if I'd done that. I blame Mark Sabotage. He gave me a smiley face when I said I missed Dangerfield. But I've got 8 trades to defend my position against Mark. That's the way I see it until the run home. And I'm not going to let him take out season 2021 against me. So that's my main aim, Faz. Not too dissimilar from yourself. Flynn's moving out of my team this week from Grundy. 6 trades left on the run home. As Faz mentioned, this week's show is really focused around what to do with CCJ. It's less the people who are looking to keep CCJ or have him as just a bench player. It's more for the people who, for CCJ, it was a crucial part of the upgrade strategy. He was brought in, obviously, as an expensive rookie, and scoring a 5 means that he's really worked out not too brilliantly, because on-field scoring is now deflated and his cash generation too from a 160 base is being compromised. And that's thrown out a lot of coaches who were cutting it down to the wire in terms of who they could actually afford on the run home. So now people are asking, you know, oh, I can't bring in Danger or can't bring in Grundy. What do I do? So that's a big chunk of this week's show. But before we get into that, we'll do a quick whip around our leagues. And I do have to call out the number one overall player in Supercoach at the moment, not just our leagues, is Clem's team. And you can find him on Twitter, but he gave us a nice little shout out as one of the websites or podcasts that he listens to. And we've been tracking him for a little while. When I had a sneaky chance at the weekly prize a few weeks ago, he was right up there. Not only is he first, he scored 2,700 plus and had the 31st highest score for the round. So we'll be cheering Clem on and hoping he does a fantastic job. He's the current overall leader of Supercoach all up. In terms of our Supercoach Coach Patreon group, the top score for the week was Charlie's Kirk Show's team, 26-47. And if you've been keeping track of our overall Patreon group, he's been in and out of contention for our prize, often taking the lead. He has caught up now. He's only 30 points behind Daniel's team, More Midtime, who's our current Patreon leader at 208th overall with a score 25.79 this week. There is about six teams that are 180 points off each other, all contending for our Patreon group prize at the end of the year. So a lot to keep track of there. It's going to be a tight finish to the year, and good to see that most of the coaches up the top of our Patreon group have been keeping it up. In terms of our top scorer overall in our Supercoach Coach group, our public group, that's Arthur's team, Black on White. He scored 27.60 with an overall rank of 7th and a round 16 rank of 4th. Huge score for Black on White. All right, let's get into some questions, and we'll start off with this first one from Corey Blackledge. What do I do with CCJ? Do I trade him to Jeremy Sharp or 102K rookie? So for people who have CCJ but looking to downgrade him versus actually use him, what is the move there? And I guess a related question from at Troy Danaher. Coming into the home stretch, is it time to bring in a basement rookie to maximize your cash? Or are we still trying to find playing rookies to cover injuries? Now, trying to find playing rookies may be a bit of a challenge, full stop, but it's a pertinent question at this stage. You know, you could be bringing in a guy who's 102K, potentially some DPP flexibility, or you could be bringing in, I think, Jeremy Sharp, you know, is still the standout this week. Had another good game. I think he kicked the game-winning goal or the game-sealing goal. What do you reckon, Faz? Spending an extra 40K on a Sharp type or maximizing cash gen?
Yeah, so this is a position I found myself somewhat in this week. It wasn't Jeremy Sharp I was looking at. So I'm in the camp of using CCJ as my last upgrade. And it was always planned around Ned Reeves being the downgrade to fuel the upgrade to Grundy. With CCJ's poor score on the weekend, I now can no longer afford Ned Reeves, but I've just got enough cash to get one of the 102K rookies and still get Grundy into my side. So for me, that sort of makes a decision for me, I guess, particularly because Reeves is not even getting games right now. It's round 11, I think, was the last time he played.
Segler had another good game all weekend, I think.
Yeah, that's right. So Segler seems to be holding down that spot, at least in the short term. So there's sort of no great advantage of getting Reeves into the side. And I guess there's a bit of flexibility around with the DPP options for those 102K rookies. So I just took a couple of notes here of, you know, the guys that you've got available at 102K. And I think you've pretty much got every position link with only ruck forward. I guess there's no ruck in any other position. But you've got Jacob Edwards from North with the ruck forward, Sam Durham from Essendon, defence mid, Isaac Chug from Collingwood, defence forward, Jack Saunders, mid forward from Hawthorn. And I think that's not a bad option. With only 7 weeks left, you know, if you've got enough players this week, 6 weeks after that, opening up one of those DPP links, I think, could be pretty handy. I'm probably going to lean it towards Jacob Edwards. It's probably a pipe dream, but hope that Fullerton might get back at some point this year. That would give me a bit of cover between the ruck and the forward lines. And I guess with Jeremy Sharp as well, to get back to the original question, because he's a mid only, that's probably the one spot in the ground where I think people have pretty decent bench cover at the moment. Brambles came through in the last few weeks. You had Jai Newcombe as well. A lot would still have the Collingwood defence mid.
Trembianco.
So there's quite a few options there that seem to have got a place in their team. They're probably going to play most of the remaining rounds. So Jeremy Sharp looks like a better scorer than some of those guys, but you really just need them for the off chance that you're missing a player. So I wouldn't be going out of my way to pay the extra cash, lose the DPP flexibility that you have with some of the 102K players just to get, you know, that marginal better scoring that Sharp might provide over a Newcombe or a Brambles type.
Oh, I think you've hit it right on the head there, Faz. I think if you can afford to bring in someone who is playing great, but if you need the extra cash to get that extra 40K, opening up those DPP links is absolutely critical. I'd like to bring in Sharp this week myself, but to do that, I'd have to burn my link to the midfield, and I don't want to do that. So I think that's something that I'd sort of look at, because I've got quite a few forward mids in my forward line, but I've only got the one sitting on my bench in the midfield, which is not really good planning by me, but it's sort of where my team's at. And if I can open up that link, that's what I want to do. I've got the forward defense link, the defense mid link all set up. Just got to keep them all going. And, you know, you'll find as you go through the remainder of those 7 weeks, if you've got all of those links, as you say, Faz, you can shuffle things around when you do have a player missing, and you should be pretty fine with that. I brought in Reeves the previous week. I guess if you do need to bring in a player who is currently not playing, if you can find one that is a chance to possibly come back into the side like a Reeves-type player, then that's probably the one I'd look at. You know, if you're juggling two guys at the same price, one who's probably played a few games versus one who hasn't, go for the one who might come back in. You never know, you might get lucky. Very rarely we do, but, you know, it'd be a good thing if you can.
We want to call out Leo Connolly. He's not 123. He's at 113K mark. His scores have been pretty poor. 23 and 35, stealing off Faz's sheet there. He is probably not a guy you really want on field, but between playing an absolute donut and the guy who, I guess, could come on field, that may be a consideration. Personally, in my spot, I've got quite a few trades, so I'm hoping that all my injuries, even short-term injuries, will be covered by trades. So I'm extra incentivized to take even a Sam Durham type potentially over taking Leo Connolly. And if you have Trembianco, then obviously that just opens up the pivot for you. So I very much resonate with everything that's been said, especially on Jeremy Sharp. He looks like such an obvious player, but there'd just be so few teams that actually need a player like him. You're going to have to be pretty low on trades already, and then you're probably going to also be in a situation where you don't have a Newcombe or a Bramble in the last couple of weeks. Unless you're in a situation where you need the cover in the midfield, Jeremy Sharp's not a necessary trade-in because you won't really be using him at this stage.
Just before we move on from the rookies, one other name I just want to put out there, probably a bit of a forgotten player, is Finlay McRae. With his 6 on the weekend coming on as a sub in the final quarter, he's now dropped down to 112K.
So, okay.
You know,
that's not bad.
Shocking scores, but if you're looking at a Jack Saunders, there's a few others of those 102K bottom basement price rookies with the mid-forward link. If you don't have Finlay McRae already, he'd be a guy I'd think about. Collingwood are probably out of contention for the finals now. Finlay McRae, who keeps being in the emergencies, was the sub this week. We'll probably get a few more games, I'd imagine, for the rest of the year. Could get you the 50 points when you need it in a particular week. So he's just another one that I'd flagged to look out for.
Guys like him who are on the fringe, they've been med sub for a few times, it's only going to take one or two injuries at Collingwood, and he's going to be starting 18 in that team. So that's those ones where you just pick them and you just hope that something happens that they're going to get games.
All right, on to our next question from Shannon Swan, and he's asking about options for Lachie Neale. Now, he's asked if he can use this opportunity to downgrade to mid-price in the midfield and upgrade to CCJ, you know, so like a Pendlebury type from a couple of weeks ago. Now, I just want to call out that Neale, I don't think it's been confirmed, but there's some noise or reports out that he may be back playing this week. And if not this week, the fact that he was named in the starting team before being a late withdrawal indicates that he should be back pretty soon. So at this stage of the season, considering you just brought Neale in, you're aware of obviously the increased injury risk after the year that has been for him. unless you're in a super luxurious situation, I would just be looking to keep Lachie Neale. He can score 150 off very little preparation, apparently, and score 96 with a bung shoulder and being tagged half the time. Yeah, if you held on to him last week especially, it would make sense to continue to hold him, in my point of view. I think we'll go to the CCJ topics because there's a fair bit on there. So this question is from Chris Long, and he's asking about best replacement options for CCJ outside of Patrick Dangerfield. So Danger's the obvious one. He's obviously averaged 110, 120 in seasons past. He's back to playing full midfield now, so it is pretty scary to potentially go without him. If you can get him, you should absolutely do what you can to try and pick him up. His price is scheduled to go up another 30K each week for the next couple of weeks, so this is the week. 533K is still cheap for Dangerfield. He's dropped about 80K from his starting price point. I held through his suspension earlier on in the season very painfully, and I'm a big fan of Danger, obviously, being a Geelong supporter, and very upset I didn't pick him up last week. That aside, who are the best replacement options from CCJ? And I'm going to throw out some names here that the community's put to us. Morales Maximus is asking about Hawkins or DeGoey, or riding the roller coaster with cheap fallen premiums like Heaney or Darling. Cal P or CCP underscore 22 on Twitter has chucked in Shai Bolton as well and Steel Sidebottom. And to round us out, Seb Siwek, one of our patrons, also asked whether or not DeGoey is worth consideration with more midfield minutes under Rob Harvey as the new coach. So I might throw to you, Faz, who do you like under that Dangerfield price tag?
Certainly would echo your comments. If there's any way of getting Danger, then I think he's the clear pick for this week. Yeah, looked great. I think his kicking was looking a bit out of sorts for the first few weeks back, but it's still Dangerfield kicking. It's not the best kick in the comp, good. But it's lots of long kicks. And this week, at least they're going to packs rather than clangers. And so he's just going to rack up the points, I think.
The rain definitely helped him. It was a game style that suits Danger, I think. Also,
banging the boot, yeah.
Yeah. There's just more contests as well and less running patterns. And I think he was saying getting back to full fitness was a bit of a struggle coming back. And I think the fact that you could just run to the next wet contest really suited him down to a T. So don't expect 180s going forward, but certainly 110, 115 is very much within his grasp.
Yeah, so of that list of names you read out before, probably Tom Hawkins would be my pick from those. Being a key forward, Geelong, I think they've got a couple tough games on the run home, but he's also the type that can get those huge scores. So 150 pluses, you know, with 7 weeks left, you just need that to happen so once or twice. Now, I guess you've experienced this, Marcus, in the last few weeks. You got the roller coaster of Tom Hawkins of, you know, I think he got 150 odd the week you brought him in and then followed by a couple of 60s. That's kind of the key forward life that you sign up for, is that fluctuation.
Geelong also has a really good run home. Carlton, Frio, Richmond, North Melbourne, GWS, St Kilda and Melbourne.
Okay, they've got one potentially hard game there with Melbourne, but then everything else looks very much winnable there. 3 of the 7 at home at Kay Park. That's hard to argue against. If you don't have Dusty, he's a good option still. I think not playing his best footy this year, but at 487K, even in a disappointing loss against Gold Coast on the weekend, he got an 86. Who really knows with Richmond this year how they're going to play on the run home, but he feels like one of those players with a pretty high floor. His worst is going to be around that 80 mark and still has the potential to go huge with his ability to play forward and kick goals. Bailey Dale, I don't mind as well. His role seems to be fluctuating a bit, but when he's playing that rebounding defender role, scores really well. Had a 111 in the weekend just gone.
Bailey scored 50 against Geelong. That was his lowest score since round 6. After that round 6 game, 112, 91, 85, 152, 102, 96, 50, 96, 111. He's basically been scoring 90-plus outside of that one game against Geelong. That was 2 rounds ago, so he's officially hit bottom-out price of 467K. I think he is a bit of a standout this week.
If you were more strapped for cash, you don't have Heim or you've got a worse-priced rookie that you're using for your CCJ upgrade, probably Marshall would be the other one I'd throw out there. A bit cheaper at 437K. It's a tough one with the injury he's carried this year, that stress fracture in the foot. You know, I think clubs are very hesitant to let a guy play on with an injury like that. So any sign of soreness again, he probably gets another rest. But sharing the ruck duties with Paddy Ryder, he does have a potential to put together some quite good scores. Certainly a player we'll be looking at very closely for next year. But if you're strapped for cash that far and you just need someone below, I think most of the options I've put out there are above 450. Rowan Marshall might be an all right option. If you need to take a risk at a cheaper guy, he could have that upside to make the risk worth it.
Yeah, look, I like a lot of those that Faz mentioned there. I've got a few others, but I do like the Bailey Dale option. He has been pretty good of late. Look, if you're willing to take a risk on an old body, you could go with Buddy Franklin. If you look at his last six games, he's only been under 90 on one occasion, and that was that game against Hawthorn at the SCG. Other than that, he's sort of had two 130s, a 113, a 90, and a 95. He's sitting currently at basically 450, and in the Swans finished the season pretty well. They've got the Dogs this week, but then they've got GWS, Frio, Essendon, St Kilda, North and Gold Coast. So, you know, there could be a few bags in there for Buddy to get a nice score. Other ones that I like in that sort of area, Jordan DeGoey, I think he's a good option at that 400 price. Another guy who really sort of came good this week and has had a few good weeks, he's averaging 112 in the last three, 101 in the last five, is Zach Bailey. He's priced at 500, so if you're just short of being able to afford Dangerfield, he's certainly one you could look at. Not sure how much of that scoring has been sort of aligned with Lachie Neale being out, but kicked a few goals on the weekend for his 124 and has been looking pretty good. Another one around that 470, Toby Green. Another one who had a poor score on the weekend and dropped in price. I was considering him. I think, Marcus, we chatted about him online during the week. So there's a few guys there I think are worthwhile taking a look at, but obviously Dangerfield's the one that I'll be bringing in this week. Thankfully, I do have enough cash to do that, and I don't know that I'd take a risk on a Heaney, but I think if I was going to take a Swan, I reckon I'd almost take that risk on Buddy because he can go big.
Yeah, don't hate the Buddy selection. When he's been playing, he's been pretty much primo numbers. So for the price point, that's not too bad a risk, but you just probably need to have either decent enough cover or have some trades up your sleeve. DeGoey's not the worst option either. I think you're still taking a risk both on the injury and the scoring front at that price point, but at 407,000, it's not the worst risk to take, and he's clearly taking a bit more midfield time, which brings me to side bottom. The side bottom I probably wouldn't go with at this stage, neither Shai Bolton. Both players who you've got to question the amount of midfield time that they'll get for the remainder of the season, considering for Shai's case, some return to injuries from key midfielders, and inside bottom's case, his relative age, the fact that Pendlebury's back in the midfield, etc.
Yeah, I think that role has changed a little bit for him.
Rowan Marshall, I don't hate. I think he certainly comes with some risk, but I'd only really want to be taking him if you had a ruck forward at your R3 so that you can benefit from that. In terms of my standouts this week under the Dangerfield price tag, it'd be Bailey Dale probably first, Tom Hawkins second, and then third, Dusty Martin. We had some questions about Jake Stringer as well. I like the Stringer idea. It's just that at 472, it is really probably too expensive. I probably almost prefer DeGoey at that cheaper price point. Both clearly playing the right role. In saying that, Dusty Martin plays the same role too, and he's an absolute all-star who scores 96 in that position. They're arguably maybe even getting a little bit more time up in the clearances than Dusty, but it's a great role, but it's not an absolute lock-it-away sort of role that you'd take any player as long as they were playing in that position. You're still starting in the clearances and then moving forward, so your team needs to play ball with you a little bit for that to work out. Yeah, I think between Hawkins and Dale, who aren't particularly highly selected players at 7% each, those are a couple of pretty good options. And then Dusty, for anyone who doesn't have 67.7% of teams that are Dusty, so probably everyone has them. All right, let's go on to the next question. This one's from at Mitch Cooper 9 on Twitter, and it's basically asking, if he has CCJ with Madden and Briggs on bench with four trades left, what should he do in that particular situation? Madden, Briggs, and CCJ at this stage will be delivering you a donut. So in that particular scenario, with no real clear turnaround point on the horizon, you probably have to trade. Now, CCJ can come back from injury, but you know, with Lynch and Riewoldt back in the team, his place isn't absolutely secured either. So you wouldn't really want to be running with a questionable donut for the foreseeable future. If one of the three of them return this week, then potentially you might not need to trade. But if you're facing a donut with the three of them, then you'd almost certainly have to trade. And if you're in a situation where you were forced to do a downgrade to upgrade CCJ, you would even commit to that. Because there's probably no side swap candidates at CCJ's price. Potentially, you could look at Heaney, but you're at a point where you're probably happy to do one down, one up, go to two trades for the last six rounds after this next one gets played, and be reasonably happy with that. It's not an ideal situation, but it's a situation that you might find yourself being forced into. And similar question from at Knight and Nige, asking about a possible forward donut with CCJ out, three trades out, but he's got a way to side swap to pick up Marshall or Butters in one trade. So again, another pretty obvious one. I think two trades is okay. It's not ideal, but between running with CCJ out or if you're able to hit a Marshall Butters type, that seems pretty fantastic. This next question is from Christian Slater. He's asking about getting to full premium this week by taking a few substandard premiums like Hawkins and Marshall and ending with three trades, or going all the way to Dangerfield, running Bergman at F6 for a while longer and then having to use two trades after that to get somebody closer to finals. He also says, PS, he has regrets that he took FB Donkey's advice over mine. Not trading CCJ to Danger last week was brutal. And Chris, I bloody feel ya. I think that one seems pretty obvious as well. You've got to do Hawkins, Marshall. I mean, that almost seems fantastic if you finish with that and three trades left versus running the risk on Danger and having to field Bergman for longer. That may be a little bit more controversial, though, because of Danger's upside and the inherent risk with Hawkins and Marshall. What do you think about that, Dunny? Do you reckon that's decent advice, or might you lean the other way?
I think you're right. This is probably a bit of a 50-50 one here. I guess you have to look at what do you think Hawkins and Marshall can score, you know, for the rest of the season versus what you're going to get out of Bergman and Danger. I think just that upside of Danger is probably what would, you know, worry me a touch. But Bergman's been playing really well. He's been scoring okay. But, you know, you could have both Marshall and Hawkins go over 100, maybe four out of those 7 weeks, whereas Bergman's not going to score you hundreds. He's probably going to get you 70s. 80s at best, and you'd be then relying on Danger to hit 150-odd each week to be able to make that trade right. So you've got to look at the combination of the two, not just, oh, I'm going to get Danger, he's going to score me. You know, he's not going to get 180 every week. He's probably going to be closer to 120. And you're right, if Bergman then, you know, sort of falls flat, you're going to have to use a trade or two to get rid of him, whereas with Marshall and Hawkins, you can probably ride them out for the next 7 weeks. So I think you're right. On the balance, that's probably the direction I would head.
Yeah, I think when you put it that way, Dunny, you're hoping for more to go right in the Danger Bergman scenario, where it's very possible that Danger averages 120 plus on the way home, but that would, I feel like, be best case scenario there. And, you know, that scenario still involves going down to one less trade for the remainder of the season to deal with injuries. So I think I like, whether it's Hawkins and Marshall or whether you grab Dugowie or one of the other sort of more value options this week, a Bailey Dale, I think I like that option better. And then keeping an extra trade up your sleeve for dealing with injuries on the run home.
All right, last question for the week is, what happens if you can't hit Grundy? So there was quite a few people who were waiting for Grundy to bottom out this week. And if you had CCJ or if you had Flynn, that could have potentially run you into a situation where you are slightly short on completing that. The unfortunate part is Darcy is very similarly priced at plus 600K. Nat Nui is in a similar boat, and so is Max Gawn. And they are clearly the four top rucks for the year. Now, faced with that, we're having questions around, you know, is it as simple as going to the durability of Goldie now, or should we save the extra 100K and go more to a player like Rowan Marshall? What do you reckon, gents? Rowan Marshall, Todd Goldstein, or keep Matt Flynn, or keep running the CCJ sort of combination?
Yeah, that's a real difficult one. I'd be tempted to, given that you're making a sort of suboptimal pick here, I'd be probably leaning towards going Marshall here and hoping that the risk pays off. I think that Goldie is already conceding that things are not ideal with the Goldstein pick to begin with. So maybe this is the wrong way to think about it, but just taking more of a punt and then hoping that your punt pays off. And I think by taking Marshall, you've got yourself that extra 100K and then you can use that money elsewhere and try and make back whatever that you're losing in not having Grundy or Darcy or Nick Nat, any of the sort of big hitters. You can put that money to work elsewhere, whether that means that you can get Dangerfield into your side or, you know, there's another trade that you do. Because I think that's the other part. You know, once we're at this stage of the year where we've just got injury trades, some extra cash can really be huge when a player goes down. That could be what lets you, if, let's say, a Taranto type was to go down with injury, everyone that's got a pretty empty bank balance has to look at Taranto-priced options of who are probably players that will score around what Taranto can score. Whereas if you've got that money sitting there, that lets you jump up and grab a Bontempelli who might drop a bit in price after a poorer score this week. So I think you're making the decision, acknowledging that it's not the best decision. You're not taking the best option just because you can't afford it. I'd be hoping that you take a cheaper option in Marshall and then parlay that cash elsewhere.
I agree with you, Faz. I think if you look at the difference in what you think they're going to score is probably not that much different. And having that extra 100K in bank is what I'd be looking at, trying to save that. Because as you say, you might need to add that on to an injury trade later in the season. And that could be the difference between getting a really good player and just an average player for the last four or five rounds. So I agree. I'd be going with Marshall in that situation. You know, you've got Goldstein averaging, what, 99. Marshall was averaging 83. So you're talking, you know, 16 points. But that's, you know, Marshall hasn't had a great run this year. If he gets going now, he could actually pick that up and, you know, average closer to something like 90 for the rest of the season. Not that much different. That 100K invested elsewhere could certainly pick up more than that 10 points that you're looking at. So I'd certainly look there. Just in case anyone was looking at Scott Lysette, who's 40K cheaper than Goldstein, don't look at him. He's got Melbourne, St Kilda, Collingwood and Adelaide all to come. So four pretty tough ruck matchups for him, even though he did score 116 last week.
I agree with you, gents. If you're not able to pick up the top rucks, then you might as well save the cash and go with a Rowan Marshall type, I reckon. And if you need a bailout later, at least he's easy to pivot out of your rucks. You could potentially trade a forward to a ruck if that side swap opportunity presents or in case of injuries or whatever else. So added flexibility is a potential benefit as well. All right, let's finish up with a captain's corner to wrap up this week's show. I went with McRae last week, and that was the most obvious heading into the rounds. I'm glad my VCs failed. It was my top score for the week. This week, not sure if we have as obvious an option. What do you gents reckon?
I reckon I'd probably – it's going to require a little bit of fast movement on the Sunday if you wanted to go this way. Look at Josh Kelly against Gold Coast in the early game on the Sunday into McRae against Sydney in that middle game. But if that's a little tight, and if you have him, and God, I wish I did, the obvious pick for me would be Darcy Parrish against Adelaide on the Friday night for the VC option into a McRae against Sydney on the Sunday. They're probably the three standout for me in terms of matchups. If Lachie Neale does play, him against St Kilda could be an option on the Saturday night, but Parrish or Kelly into McRae is probably where I'd be looking if I could.
I don't, unfortunately, have Darcy Parrish, so I might be looking at a Zach Merritt against Adelaide. I think Adelaide are giving up some pretty big scores in the midfield. Then certainly it seems hard to go past McRae at the moment. I think is it one or two games he's gone below 100 the whole year. And I saw he's pipped Bontempelli, his teammate, for most points in the whole season. And I don't have Bontempelli, so I'll be going with McRae as my backup. Geelong play Saturday Arvo against Carlton. So Paddy Dangerfield after that 180. If you're lucky enough to have Paddy in your side, he'd be another to consider, I think. If O'Connor's not back, then Sam Walsh might be an option as well. Had a sensational game on the weekend and is in ripping form. So for me, it's probably a toss of the coin between Zach Merritt, Sam Walsh, and then into a McRae captaincy.
I don't have Jack Steele, but if you do, his lowest score the past 5 weeks has been 126. So he's in ripping form. His last game against Brisbane last year, he scored 167. So he's certainly a bit of a standout. Bontempelli, his last two against Sydney, 166 and 158. So also a bit of a standout. And then you've already mentioned Darcy Parrish, Essendon against Adelaide, definitely looks right for the opportunity. Agree with McRae being a pretty good backup. Should also note Josh Kelly against Gold Coast, last three, 106, 138, 124. Anyone going for Max Gawn should note that I think Luke Jackson had season high centre bounce attendances and Max Gawn season low. Hoping he'd build into a bit more opportunity as we head toward finals, but it doesn't seem to be happening yet. Probably hold off on Gawn from the C and VC action for now.
Yeah, I reckon it's a good week for them to rest Gawn this way. I think you should just have a week off.
Awesome. So I think plenty of decent options this week, especially if you're looking at some of the extreme heavy hitters of the comp, Steele, Bont, Parrish, McRae, all in exceptional form and probably be your starting points in terms of looking for a captaincy. And with that, we'll wrap up for another week and head to record our Patreon bonus. Thank you very much, gents, for joining us for another week. I think if people aren't running out of trades already, they will be very shortly. So we ended up having a bit more to talk about this week, which is great. Hopefully there's more decisions that we can continue to dissect on the run home. Any final words from you, Fuzz?
No, just look out, Mark. I'm coming for you. The trip's going well, mate. But I hope your Supercoach season does not go well.
Yeah, look, it'd be great if Mark can stay in a few more internet dead spots up there in the Northern Territory to allow us to catch up to him. But probably the only other one for the listeners is just beware that there is that game on Monday. I don't think West Coast and North Melbourne are heavily owned sides, but just beware we won't have those final teams until Saturday night.
Good call. Thanks, Sonny, and thanks, gents. We'll catch you all, community, next week. See ya.
See you next time.
Bye.